This is the Jeff Horovitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, folks, let's change gears, talk some real estate. What's going on in real estate in Arizona? What's going on around the country? Andrew Ragusa joins me to Jeff Horovitz Show. Another hour starts now. All right, folks, let's talk real estate, one of my favorite topics, and I'm very happy to have on the program Andrew Ragusa, who's CEO, broker of Remy Realty in Plainview, Long Island. Andrew, hey, welcome to the program. How are you doing today?
Hey, Jeff, I'm great. Thank you. I'm very happy to be on the show.
Good to have you. And, you know, I always like to get a take on what the environment's like in states, you know, that I haven't been to in a while. And a lot of us haven't traveled a lot during COVID. Well, actually, I should take that back because I have. But I haven't been back to New York. I haven't been back to New York in about a year and a half. But I had a buddy of mine on from L.A. He splits his time between Phoenix and L.A. And he was just recently in Florida. And Florida's very wide open. Arizona's pretty dang wide open. California's like a tyrannical state. I hear about New York all the time. How is it actually on the ground there?
Yeah, well, you know, where I am in Long Island, it's not so bad. Things are pretty open and people are out doing their thing. Most of the people who I come across, too, are very kind of laxed. I don't really run into too many people who are really have that fear embedded into them, yeah. Luckily. Maybe that's just me. I'm getting lucky because it's what I'm attracting. Yeah. But, you know, if you get into New York City – and you get like into some parts of the boroughs and, you know, Manhattan specifically, the whole atmosphere changes and it goes to that whole dreary, you know, uncertainty all over the place. Everyone a little scared and everyone avoiding each other.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad. Now, I should give you a little background. I was born in New York, and I was born what would be called for everybody in Long Island and New York City, upstate New York, which is the rest of the state. I was born in Warwick, New York, and lived there till I was about 14, and then moved out to Arizona. My family moved out here. Not sure if you're familiar with that area. But I was back there. I took my kids back to Manhattan. We did a big road trip last year, and we were, I'm glad I went because I don't know is it ever going to be the same there?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so? You think it'll bounce back?
Look, this is the only thing I'm going to say that's going to cause a hurdle. if the governor plans to increase taxes and they think they're going to tax businesses to the point where it's not worth it to be here, then it will not come back. But as far as people wanting to be in Manhattan, yes, the city life was exciting. That's why people live there. Yeah. You know, have 24/7 access to restaurants, foods, close proximity to work. There was leisure. That desire won't leave. But if you don't let the businesses run, they won't come back.
Yeah, yeah. And we hear about, look, in Arizona, we're getting tons of Californians. They're fleeing that state. And I think there's similar environments in New York and California. Okay, so we'll see if it comes back. And I know, obviously, you're in the real estate business. You're a realtor. I always like to say I'm a realtor, too. And I invest in commercial and residential properties. My listeners know that. I was looking back. I guess I've been in this for nearly two decades now, which where does the time go? It's a very uncertain time, though. For a lot of folks, we've seen a lot of rural price increases. We're seeing that here in Arizona. Is it similar that are people like flocking to Long Island, upstate New York, or are they leaving to go to Arizona? What are you seeing trend wise? Let's talk about trends in general, Andrew.
Yeah. So basically what I'm watching from my experience at the moment is that there is an exodus of very wealthy people from Manhattan out to all different parts of Long Island. And, you know, what's funny is that a lot of these markets where they're buying were in stalemates prior to the pandemic. There was a lot of properties that were on market, you know, in 2019, 2018 that were asking, you know, $5 million, $4 million. And then they had to reduce to $3 million, $2.5 million. And now those same properties at those price points at the $5 million marker and up are gone. All of them have been bought.
Wow. Starter home? It's the prices, you got to understand it. When I hear that, I just pulled up our MLS for Northern Arizona and, in Flagstaff, the local government in the city of Flagstaff, for example, I had the mayor on just Friday. We've talked about the housing crisis that's existed here. Because you can't find, there's like seven homes available, single family detached. We'll call them starter homes. There's seven homes in the Flagstaff market under 400,000. But for 500,000, 600,000, 700,000, people are scapping up homes that probably are in comparable size to what you're seeing out there. It's just, and it's considered very expensive here, but I guess your market, no, not, that's not the, can I get a $400,000 home?
Yeah, you can.
I can.
Good luck, man, because it'll move so quickly, and chances are it'll be in a less desirable neighborhood, not the greatest schools, and you know, at the same time, not the best condition. You can. I'm not saying it's impossible. And the funny thing is, if one popped up, it would be sold in a heartbeat.
Huh. Interesting. So just gone. So similar things. Yeah. People want to get to that more rural lifestyle, even, you know, just get out of the city. What do you see this continuing though? I mean, I'm not giving anyone advice here, you know, but we can make predictions and guesses. Do you see it continuing?
So my prediction for this is, you know, right now they're distributing vaccines. And, you know, that I believe that we're going to get through the normal flu season and then COVID should be under control. With that being said, it's very optimistic and I think it's realistic to have an expectation of this spring to start seeing some changes with the way that they're handling life. You know, lockdowns, everything else is going to start lightening up. COVID cases are supposed to be dropping. I mean, why would we have a vaccine if the cases don't drop, right? That's the point of the vaccine.
You would hope, yeah.
And then from there, I believe that there is still there's a couple things to take in consideration. Two main points. First, there is a market of people who want to move, they want to sell, or they want to buy, but they are social distancing.
Okay.
They don't want strangers walking through their home, and they don't want to go walking through other people's homes. So that is going to be one big injection of activity, both buying and selling. And then secondly, we've had foreclosures postponed, and I go to real estate auctions and purchase properties from the sheriff directly on a regular basis prior to COVID. And I know for a fact there are still plenty of houses from 2018 that were scheduled to be sold, 2019 that are scheduled to be sold, and then all the damage that has been caused in 2020 has got to be handled in some way. So these are two sources of property injections that I know are going to come to the market at some point.
And Andrew, and folks, talking with Andrew Ragusa, he knows his stuff with real estate out there, well, across the country, but Long Island, New York area, he's focused. You look at, though, that backlog. So you got people that may have been living in these places for a couple of years, basically mortgage free because they've stopped the foreclosure process. Right. So you're saying by an injection, you're saying that, hey, there's going to be a lot more coming up on the market, a lot more stuff, a lot more inventory.
Yeah, basically, okay. with all these sheriff sales being held back, investors are waiting. Homeowners, even first-time homebuyers are waiting. But I know investors are sitting there with their mouth watering, just waiting. It's been all of 2020. It's been impossible to find properties to renovate and sell. And there's an entire backlog sitting in the sheriff's hands.
Do you think it's going to be like, I remember picking stuff up in maybe it was 10, 11 going into that time period. And there was so many deals to be had. You think we're going back to that or not to that extreme?
No, I don't think to that extreme. I think that, you know, the financial meltdown and collapse of 2008 was a massive eye-opening thing. And there's been so much regulation implanted to prevent something of that size. I think this is just, you know, a small window of opportunity where if you're paying attention and you watch out for the courts, you can jump in, grab some properties. But once everyone kind of sees what's happening, I expect the demand to far exceed the amount of inventory anyway.
Okay. And how does we look at interest rates, Andrew? I mean, it's crazy. It's super low. I mean, 2-3% on a single family is for like a 30-year note. So people are refinancing, but people are also purchasing. I don't know what have you noticed on the lending side? Has it been easier as far as the down payment, or is it have they bumped that up, or is it pretty easy for a lot of people?
You know, it's funny. I talk to my lenders and I say to them, you know, how's the year been? And they all told me this was the best year they've ever had in their lives compared to 10 and 15 years of being in business. This is the they've made more money in 2020 than they did in any other year.
Wow.
Combined. And it was so good that I actually told my sister, hey, stop. She was leasing. She was the finance manager at a car dealership. I said, stop writing leases for cars or getting loans approved for cars. I said, start getting loans approved for houses. She switched. And now she's a loan officer. It's so good. You know, but your question, you know, is it a good time? Yeah. I mean, for the most part, this is the cheapest money has ever been.
Yeah. No wonder if it gets cheaper. I just saw I don't know which European country it was, but they were doing 0%. They're basically, you know, if you factor in inflation, they're paying people to take money. If you look at it that way, right? I mean, it's crazy. I wonder, they won't be able to budge these interest rates, but I worry about inflation, things like that. Obviously, we're seeing inflation in housing prices. But then if you factor in how low the interest rates are, it's crazy how, you know, it can be cheaper than renting for, depends on where you're at in the country. I mean, this varies widely, but it can be cheaper than renting. If you can come up with a down payment, that's a challenge for a lot of people.
Yes, I agree with you. You know, right now I've seen a lot of banks offer some incentives. So, you know how they give you like, they get you grants or they get you, you know, just monies to help with your closing costs. Sometimes they give you like 2-3% in aid and whatnot. So I found a few banks here and there that at one point were doing this. I don't know if they're still doing it now, but they were offering a 1% down payment because they were going to cover the other 2.5 that you need to get the 3.5.
Wow. So it's crazy. So okay, this may continue. We'll see. None of us have a crystal ball. We don't know what other things can happen. Has it? Let's switch to the residential rental side or investment side. Now, my listeners know that I have rental properties, and something I've talked a lot about is a couple of the eviction moratoriums that have happened statewide. We don't have one in Arizona anymore. That the governor finally let that run out, but we do have this CDC one and this one that just got re-upped in Congress, I believe, until the February or March coming up here in the next couple months. My guess is they're going to continue this on. How's that impacting, you know, investor folks out there? If you're dealing with them.
Yeah, no, it's not, you know, everyone is talking about cancel rent. And it's not a good solution because, you know, most of these people, I don't think everyone realizes a lot of times when you say the word landlord or real estate investor,
dirtbag,
a lot of people think,
right?
First of all, yeah, right, they don't like the person, number one.
Yeah.
But they also assume that the other person is just super rich, right? But you know what I see more often than I see the super rich is a working family, middle income family who saved, tried to buy an investment property so that they can bring in some more monies for their family, and they're trying to break out of the rat race. They are by no means super rich, you know, and that is the people who are hurting the most. Most of these people who are landlord, the more common landlord. Mm-hmm. Is the average guy who has an investment property. Maybe he's doing a little better than poor folks, but that doesn't make him rich or wealthy by any means. So now here we are in the, you know, with the middle class being hurt so badly, not collecting rent and not getting any state aid or government aid on the subject.
Yeah.
I don't know how this is going to be handled.
Yeah. No, and you nailed it there. And I've tried to explain this many times that most of these folks maybe own another single family house in hopes that in, you know, 20 years they're going to retire and hopefully it appreciates and et cetera, maybe pay
exactly.
it off. Maybe they have a duplex. But if you have no rent coming in, they probably have a mortgage. God, they probably have high property taxes. What's property taxes cost for an average house out there now, Andrew? 10?
All right. So in Long Island, in Nassau County, average tax is somewhere around $15,000 now. Suffolk County, somewhere around, you know, $13,000.
It's more than a mortgage. Ours is maybe $2,500 on an average home here. And I am up in arms every time they raise it because I'm like, you're going to become New York or New Jersey. You know, you're going to, you got to be careful. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is when these people say you don't have to, you can't evict, which means you can't collect rent, you can't get folks out. These people still have to pay the mortgage, the insurance, the property taxes, all that. It can be a real loss.
Yeah. You know, I personally have a property that I own in Fairlawn, New Jersey, which I bought from the sheriff. I bought this back in 2019, the end of the year. And by the time we closed, the closing date, I believe, was March 12th.
Lucky
and then
you.
A day later, or 2 days later, they announced that March 18th, 2020 was going to be lockdown.
Oh, my God.
And in the house is a family living there who has not paid their mortgage in 3 or 4 years. He was delaying foreclosure over and over and over. Now, the laws in the state of New Jersey state that you have, if you are the previous owner and you get foreclosed on, you don't have a right, because there's so many ways to get out of foreclosure. You could refinance the loan, you know, adjust it, make interest only mortgage payments and still keep your house. You just can't live there for free.
Yeah.
Right. But he chose to just still get the foreclosure taken on him and not take responsibility for what's happening. So here we are in a scenario where, you know, now we just got the lockdown. The people are there and they've been living rent free the entire time in 2020 in my house. And all I've been doing is paying the mortgage and the property tax. And even when I reach out and I ask, like, hey, can we work something out? They don't respond. They just ignore.
Wow. So all these months. Painful. So you might come up on a year.
I'm almost a year at this point, and I've spent, I'm going to say, roughly $36,000 or $38,000 while he just lives there for free.
Yeah. And people don't realize that. I mean, and look, realtors or landlords and property owners, et cetera, can get that bad name of, oh, you're fueling up the jet, you don't care. But most people will work with people. You call them and you're like, hey, that's the worst thing you can do is not respond. You know,
right.
But if you respond, say, hey, I lost a job because of COVID. Most people will work with folks.
Yeah.
I think that's what's been lacking with the government mandates.
Well, you know, a lot of the government solutions have been very short-sighted and one-sided. They're mostly focusing on aid for the renter, but they're not helping the landlord with the property tax issue. They're not helping the landlord with, you know, mortgages. Yes, they had that. What was it? The letting you roll your payments to the end. I'm drawing.
Forbearance.
Yes. Yeah. Forbearance thing set up, but even then you still have to pay it.
Yeah.
And it's still collecting interest. So we're in a period of time where no income is coming in and all you're saying is you'll pay it later. It doesn't solve the problem of the gap.
Yeah. And it can put people in a very, very bad position down the road.
And if the landlord goes down, right, the landlord, you know, takes the hit, they lose in the end. Guess where that's going to be rippled out to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the market. The people who are looking for rental units, the people who want what the landlord has. If the landlord can't have it, then you can't have the result.
The Jeff Horovitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker. This is the Jeff Horovitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, folks, we are talking with Andrew Ragusa, CEO, broker of Remy Realty in Plainview, Long Island. Let's switch gears, Andrew. Let's talk commercial. Now, there's been a lot of talk that the world's, and you and I opened up with what's going on in Manhattan. We've heard, I even said, hey, I don't think Manhattan's ever going to be the same. You have a different opinion. But there is, you know, here we are, thousands of miles away doing this interview. We tried video, by the way, folks, but we're continuing with the bandwidth problems. But people have changed their habits. And I have seen this in the past year in commercial real estate here in Arizona, maybe to a lesser degree because we don't have quite the inventory that a lot of places have. But is it going to change forever commercial as far as going to the big cubicle and the big, you know, skyscraper in Manhattan, for example?
Well, you know what I think is going to happen in Manhattan? I think they're going to start doing what is already done in parts of Shanghai and China, which I hear about from other friends of mine who have, you know, grew up there and moved to America and whatnot. They have these big sky rise buildings, very similar to our skyscrapers in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that they do differently is that they put in one location commercial, residential, and everything that surrounds it. So shopping, you know, groceries, spas, doctors, everything. It's all in one complex. And that complex becomes self-sufficient. So people can go from floor to floor. So if they're going to go to work, they would go some, you know, floor 18. If they're going home, they're going to floor 40. If they need the supermarket, they're going to floor 5.
Huh.
Right? So it's all self, it's very efficient.
Yeah, I guess.
And it's self-contained. So I could see that coming as maybe not to that extreme, but at least to the position where someone is working and living in the same building.
Yeah,
in order to bring people back.
See, that depresses me. I mean, I guess I'm used to more of a rural lifestyle, and maybe you are as well. Long Island is compared to New York, right? That just depresses me, and that makes me think that that exodus to the, you know, cities, those who can work remotely, which we're finding out many people can more than was ever thought, they're going to be like, hey, yeah, let me, yeah, I do financial stuff in New York, but I can do it from Flagstaff or Sedona, Arizona, or Prescott.
Exactly.
Right. And I'm out because I wouldn't want to live like that. But some people like that. They like that action. They want to be like that.
Well, you know, the only reason why I was coming up with that prediction is because people want convenience.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you ask me, I absolutely want grass, trees. Yeah. I want a pool. I want a beach. Like, don't – I would never live in the city. It's not for me. It's just – but there, look how many people lived there before. So there is a demand.
Yeah, like half. I think it's about half people live in a city now. I heard some stat like that. So we'll see how this all pans out after that. Wouldn't that take a massive retrofit, though? Would there be, you know, you'd have to massively change these buildings that are already there, or is new stuff coming?
I think they would probably have to change what's there. There's basically no room in Manhattan.
Yeah, that's so true. That's true. Yeah, I mean,
they don't know where they would put it.
Yeah, there's, I guess, do what they do in Vegas, start tearing stuff down. But do you see? Do you see that there'll still be a demand? I mean, are people still going to want an office? Are people going crazy at home and are like, I'm done. I need to get some space. Does that come back? How does it affect? Are you seeing the impacts of the place where I used to go right down the corner to buy a sandwich? All those, I guess, ancillary businesses that, you know, you drive by that you're not driving by now. How is that impacting?
Well, you know, you make a great point about, you know, the amount of time people are spending at home. Yes, it's great that we have remote work has become a norm at this point. I think it was overdue. Because we've always had the capacity to work remotely. We just weren't doing so.
Yeah.
But with that being said, there is absolutely a powerful dynamic created when people are in a group. So when you have a group of individuals together in one location, all working on a purpose or a goal, whatever it might be, you're in sync with each other. You work better. You work further. You get better results. Things just... it flows differently. There's power in the group dynamic is what I'm saying. So I don't believe that being completely individual remote work away from the rest of your team, your office, is something that could be done forever.
Mm.
There might be some positions like bookkeeping, right? A bookkeeper goes through statements and does stuff. They don't necessarily need a team, but creative developments and sales and stuff like that, you feed off the energy in the room and you work together and get results done faster.
I can see that.
When you're together, you know?
Yeah, I can see that.
And then there's the familial effects as well. When you look at the house, divorces are through the roof. There is a record number of divorces going on, at least here in New York and New Jersey.
Yeah.
And it's from the amount of the, you know, remote work, how we're living together.
Yeah, and I mean, we see the uptick in the suicides and all these domestic issues because sometimes, you have this situation for almost a year now of people just being crowded together. All right, let me ask you this, Andrew. I mean, do you think on the lending side, we talked about eviction moratoriums before I let you go here, there's this big push for pretty much free everything, and we see stimulus packages, and we've got people arguing different degrees of how much money people should get. But there's the student loan forgiveness that's going on. That's the big push now. That's like $1 trillion in debt right there, and talking about forgiving student loans. But we also hear a lot about loan forgiveness, and I looked up, I think the mortgage side of things on the residential side, at least, is like $10 trillion in the U.S. I could be wrong there. Is there going to be a push to forgive? Hey, we just need that big reset. We just need the debt jubilee, and everybody's going to get a free home and forget about your debt.
I laugh when you ask because I'm saying, like, who is going to eat it in the end? Who's going to be the one that says, no problem, I won't take the money?
They'll just print the money. It's just free money. It's just
if the plan is to just print the money, I think this is a terrible idea. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Look, when you talk about debt forgiveness, it drives me crazy a little bit because I feel as if the responsibility specifically when it comes to student loan debt.
Yeah.
The problem is, why are these schools allowed to teach and give you certification or degree in something that does not make money?
Hey, Andrew, like basket weaving, underwater basket weaving is important, but go ahead, Andrew.
I feel like that's a crime.
Yeah.
Because I went to school. I have a master's and bachelor's degree. I went to University of Phoenix online.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I have these two degrees, but I don't use any of the training I received. I don't use any of it. And I have to pay $60,000 in debt. And then when I got into the business world, I learned everything like 10 times faster, way more. And my results went through the roof.
Yeah.
Once I started working for myself.
Yeah.
And then I'm sitting here saying, what am I paying for? Right. So my whole point is, if it doesn't seem right to me that these schools were able to give you education that does not produce results.
I agree.
So that
I
whole
agree.
Debt
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree, but I'm just saying. And I had I spoke to a group in Williams, Arizona this recently, and I was like, look, here's the problem you have. You're fighting against a lot of people who want to give stuff away to get yeah. votes. So now it's $600, then it's going to be 2000 or whatever. And then you're going to have to do that again because you're going to get close to election time. And then you're going to do college student loan forgiveness. What's next? Well, you're going to have to up it with mortgage and rent relief. And I'm like, where does it end? And right. so I don't know. I get kind of upset too, because if you don't have college debt or housing debt or whatever, and you paid it off, imagine that. Do you get a check in the mail instead? I mean,
yeah, right.
it's crazy. Well, do you think these things will impact what, looking ahead, biggest thing you can tell folks with the real estate market, especially most people are in the residential real estate market. Most people will probably only buy their own home over a time period, may not have investment properties. What do you say to those folks going forward, Andrew?
In what context? I'm sorry.
Just as far as advice, as far as, do you go out there and you get that house? I mean, any advice you want to give folks?
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, you got to ask yourself, what's the reason I'm buying a home? Mm-hmm. If your reason to buy a single family home is because you want to provide security for your family, you want to have custom things, like you want to have, pool, a jacuzzi, you want to have your favorite backyard, you want to have all your barbecue stuff in there, you want to have the house look a certain way, you need storage, right? If you have a good reason, and mostly an emotional reason, just go out and buy your home and live in it and love it.
Yeah.
That's it. Don't go into this saying, I want to buy a good investment, because a single family home is not a great investment. What makes a great investment is a property that pays you each month, not something you have to dump money into each month.
Yeah. Yeah. People don't realize, when you always hear the story about, I bought that house for $15,000. It's like, yeah, but a loaf of bread was like eight cents,
Yeah, totally.
So
then you got to account for the mortgage interest you paid,
yeah.
all the money you put in heating, electrifying, gassing, garbage, water, sewer removal. When you really factor repairs, renovations, everything, when you total that all up,
true,
you're never going to catch up to your appreciated value.
No, especially the cost right now. You go to repair something, oh my God.
Yeah.
You guys dealing with the $5 to $7 2x4s there? I mean, it's the same thing.
God.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I don't know how people are replacing some of these. I got an appraisal recently and I was like, you couldn't even build it for that, I mean,
yeah.
it's replacement yeah. cost. So it's just crazy how much this stuff is going for. All right, folks, look up Andrew Ragusa. He's on Instagram is your spot. You like that?
Yeah, Instagram. Okay. Or you can go to remiagency.com.
Okay, if you want to get out to Long Island. Hey, I appreciate all the advice and just great to get insight what's going on over there as well.
Oh, I love being on this show, man. That was fun.
All right,
invite
Andrew.
Me again.
Absolutely, Andrew. All right, take care. Appreciate the time.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Appreciate Andrew's taking the time. But it's hard getting into a house, And I mean, my advice would be you got to keep plugging away. And I've told the story many times of getting my first home. And we had to save the 10% down payment at the time, which was we were looking in the $100,000 range. I'm dating myself a little bit. And that was 10 grand, 10% down. And then we get in the water heater broke. I've told this story many times and we had, $500 left maybe as a backup fund. And then we spent the next 2.5 years remodeling and doing that. Yeah. But I think it's important to note. Yeah. The homes seem to keep up and none of this is financial advice. I want to note that you got to do your own research and decide if you want to get home, et cetera. All those disclaimers don't, you're responsible for yourself in an era of that a lot of people are responsible. But it's, it seems to keep up with inflation. People, there's times when there's spikes in the prices of homes and if you hit it just right, great. But then you got to buy another home probably unless you decide to rent for a while. So do you make it any further better off? But still, it's still a great way to, you're going to, like Andrew said, you're going to live in that home. Your kids are going to be there. I would advise against, though, weird additions and alterations when it comes to homes during the era of COVID, because COVID will end. And I equate it to, we could even look at it when I went to Graceland and Elvis Presley's home. And, you know, if you're putting shag carpet or something of, you know, the like on the ceiling and stuff, that may not be trendy in the next couple of years. So I wonder what all the weird COVID adaptations and modifications to homes is going to look like, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and people are like, yep, that house is dated. It's COVID because they have the weird workspace they split the 12 by 12 room in half to create two workspaces or whatever. You know, there's going to be all kinds of weird COVID things that are going to date homes, I think, that people did. And a lot of people had like, hey, I know how to fix that. I'm gonna do the addition. I'm gonna do this and that. But I don't know if the results are gonna be very good. Anyway, folks, hey, appreciate you listening. And if you're watching back on YouTube to the podcast or on Spotify, if you're listening on Spotify and many other places, really appreciate that. Subscribe and like those channels, including YouTube. Even with my frustrations with social media. Remember, you can get all of this by going to talkwithjeff.com. Appreciate all the people who go to the website. You can send me messages, get all my social media links. And as always, if you got a comment, I would love to hear from you. Go ahead and chime in on the Just Wireless listener line anytime, 877-971-3971, 24/7, anytime. Love hearing from you. And I hope you all have a great, safe night, and we will see you soon.